Good morning, church family. It's been a few weeks since we've been here. We've taken a vacation, a much needed one, and 25 years of marriage celebrating with my wife. Thank you. And it's amazing what a refresh does for you. And it's amazing also that when you come back, you find out that our state's not the worst. We flew through a couple states and landed, and they made us very aware that we could not get out of the airport if we wanted to. And it's quite interesting how some states lock down tight and some states do not. In saying that, this week we do not know what the local health department will say. Right now it is a recommendation, let me make that clear, a recommendation that indoors that you wear masks. We just say that at this point, it is a recommendation, and if you are not feeling well at all, as a precaution, please watch us online. It's just better that way. If you're not feeling well, you don't want to spread whatever it is. Whether it's that or if it's, you know, Ebola, I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know nowadays what we're spreading. But just be cautious, and we will go with the recommendation that people need to wear a mask. And remember, that's a word, recommendation. Today, I would like to start off by saying, how can we learn anything from an insect that's that big? Well, some of them are bigger. If you've ever been to other countries, if you look at an ant, how many of you have ever thought, I can learn all I need to know from an ant? How many of you have gotten that dust out and be like, I need to eradicate all those ants? Let's bow our heads this morning as we open God's word. Father in heaven, as we are contemplating some of the smallest creatures on the earth, please, dear Father, help our minds to be open to you, because sometimes we think that you're the largest in the universe. And dear Father, we feel like an ant. But today, dear Father, in light of all the things that are going on around us, all the weight of the world, we come for just a short moment of reprieve so that we can worship you, our Creator. Thank you, dear Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it amazing that our God has set up one time a week where we can come apart and we can become an oasis in the chaos that's all around us? I also want to draw your attention to this fact, too, that sometimes in doing that, we have to have another vacation from our vacation. So usually Sunday is spent doing all kinds of stuff around your house, and for some of you, go right back to work. But if you would turn in your Bibles with me this morning to our text, and that is Proverbs chapter 30. And I know it's 25, but I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit. I'm going to start at the beginning. These are the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle. The man declares to Ithiel and Ithiel to Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any other man. Okay, now let me ask you a question this morning. If you are the wisest person on the earth, what are the first things that you expect from a wise person? It's almost like a fortune cookie. You would expect wisdom to come in these little short things. Oh, wise one, what are you going to share with me? I'm the stupidest person on the planet. That is an amazing first text that we read here. But if you read it carefully, it goes on, and we will read a little bit more. It goes on to say, basically, that there are these things that they have learned over their lifetime, and they are wisdom. But in Asian culture, and I experienced that just recently, going back into the Asian culture, if you put yourself out as an Asian and say that I am wise, you're dumb. And as you put yourself out as you're not really smart and humble, then people think you're wise. It's a very strange culture. I know, it's a very strange culture. But this is how basically they're showing themselves. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle, the man declared to Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any other man and do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor have I the knowledge of the Holy One. In comparison to God, we know nothing, really. Who has ascended to heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind to his fist? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Two things I have asked you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. The first word of wisdom is, please help me not to be a liar. What is the one thing that we lack in our world right now? Truth and trust. And those are both taken care of by being honest. Give me neither poverty nor riches. If you look for poverty or you look for riches, you're going to be disappointed both ways. Just ask Mother Teresa. Every time she gave and thought she was impoverished and all that kind of stuff, she was blessed. And there she is, having more than she wanted. It's interesting, give me neither poverty nor riches, because if you seek after those things, you're not going to find what you're looking for. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I may be full and deny you and say, who is Lord? Or that I may be in want and steal and profane the name of God. Do not slander a slave to his master. Yes, the Bible does teach that there is slavery all around. Or he will curse you and you will be found guilty. Basically, slavery back then was your job. Some of you feel like slaves to your job, I know. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a kind who is pure in heart in his own eyes and yet washed from his own filthiness. There is a kind of, oh, how lofty is his eyes, or his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords and his jaw like knives to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters, give and give. I had to crack up this week when I read that. The leech has two daughters, give me, give me. There are three things that will not satisfy you. And I find this interesting because he keeps using this three and four. It must be an idiom for the time that they lived in. Three times is embarrassment and four is really bad. I think that's what it's trying to say. So these things will not be satisfied. Four that will say enough. Sheol in the barren womb, earth has never satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. The eye that mocks a father and scorns the mother, the raven of the valley will pick it out and the young eagle will eat it. That doesn't sound too good to me. If you want to fail, do not listen to your mom or dad. There are three things and two wonderful for me, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky and the way of a serpent on the rock, the way of the ship in the middle of the sea and the way of a man with a maid. This is the way of adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. Under three things the earth quakes, and under four it cannot bear, under a slave when he becomes a king, and a fool when he is satisfied with food. I thought that was interesting, because you can make somebody a king, and they can still be trapped by their life before. Interesting. And a fool is satisfied with food. Under an unloved woman when she gets a husband, and a maidservant when she supplants her mistress. Four things shall be small on the earth, but are exceedingly wise. And here is today's text. The ants are not strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. And the Shephanim, most of you would know them as the Wisconsin Badgers. No, these are the Badgers, the Rock Badgers. They are not a mighty people, yet they make their house in rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in ranks. The lizard you may grasp with his hands, yet the lizard is also in the king's palace. We always say that there are cockroaches everywhere in Hawaii. Even the wealthy have them. They're just bigger. There are three things that are stately in their march, even four that are stately when they walk. The lion has a mighty beast among beasts and does not retreat from any. The strung rooster, the male goat, and the king when his army is with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have been plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood. Actually, that should be punching. So the churning of anger produces strife. What could a text like this teach us? And what does this ant have to do? Because you know what? Only twice in the Bible is this ever mentioned, an ant. Number one, it's mentioned here that they're not mighty, but they gather for the winter. And then go to the ant, you learned the word is sluggard, but it's you lazy bum. Okay? And that's all of us at some point in our life. Go to the ant, you lazy bum, and consider her ways. Have you ever contemplated this? Before we know science existed in its detail and minutia, they're saying ant and her ways. Have you ever thought about that? Way back when Solomon is writing, he says, go to the ant and consider her ways. There's only one continent ants do not exist on alive, and that's Antarctica. I think the emperor penguins have them on that. But only one continent where they don't exist. How many of you have ever had an ant in a place you did not want the ants? I will not name names, but I know that in one school we were having Swedish pancakes. Ooh, I love Swedish pancakes. And we had some honey, and the ants like honey, some of them. And we didn't realize that the ants had gotten in the honey until the children were like, what's swimming in my pancake? Because they love sweet things. And it's amazing. When we were over on vacation, we found out that ants come in all sizes. The ones that you can see that go up the trees and strip the leaves, you know, the leaf cutters and stuff like that, they're not the ones you have to worry about. It's the ones that are the size of pinheads that get into everything that are the ones that are concerning. And there's even some that I know some of you don't like coconut, but if you kill them, you smell coconut. It's called the coconut ant. It's interesting. What can we learn from an ant? 1 million billion ants on this earth, approximately. Just think about that number for a while. 1 million billion. How many people are on the earth right now? Approximately how many billion? 7, 8, it might be 9 by now, you never know. Might be less. So look at this, 100 million billion. If you take all the ants and put them in one, it's estimated that there is 1 quadrillion ants spread out over 12,000 species. This outnumbers all living species on Earth except for bacteria. All of them put together. The next time you feel stressed and you are, you know, looking around and you see an ant in your home, just take a breath and realize that if every single one of their relatives came to visit your house, you wouldn't have one. But all the plants on all the ants on the earth are working. How many of you ever thought that, you know what, there are so many people going against me right now that I don't know how I'm going to survive? So many things going wrong, so many things in the news, so many things in my family, so many things going on. I don't know how I'm going to survive. Could you imagine an ant colony when they hear an anteater is at the entrance? And yet, did you know this? That the anteater is not the worst enemy of the ant. You know what the worst enemy of the ant is? The ant. Other ants. I hope we as Christians don't mirror them in this respect. We always look at the anteater and we're like, oh, that's the devil. The devil's gonna get us all. It's bad. The sky is falling. The COVID is going to get us all. But you know what? If we trust God and we know that we do our job, God is going to do exactly what he says. It's not about the bad guy. For some reason, I think the narrative has kind of changed over the years. If let's just look at it from an ant's perspective, not as a Christian's perspective. Let's look at it from the ant's perspective. You see this big long tongue and everybody starts sticking to it. Are you going to stay near the entrance? No way. What do? You go for the depths of the colony and you go to protect the queen. You go to protect, and guess who comes out even when that tongue comes down? The warriors, the guards, and they sacrifice themselves. It's interesting, Pastor Titus was mentioned. We need to mention all of the leaders of the conference. You did, I know. And all the pastors. You know what the number one problem right now, not only with pastors and leaders right now, but in the total population, you know what the number one problem is that's getting people? Not COVID. It's the ability to function mentally. Because this has taken a extreme turn, and it has mentally affected all of us. If you don't believe me, have you been angry this week at something that news said? You're struggling with something mental, because it is something that has really affected all of us. The anger would not be there if we were totally 100% healthy, because we as Christians depend on God. We don't have to get angry at things. And yet some of us are like, well, I'm angry all the time. Well, you need to talk about it because it's very important right now. It's like when that tongue comes down into the ant hive, you yell at it and you scream at it and you stick right to it. What happens when you stick to it? Bye-bye, your lunch. And we don't need you to be lunch. We need you to talk to us. If you're going through struggles, talk about it with one another. Talk about it with someone, because if you don't, we don't want you to become a statistic. We want you to talk to us. It's important. So when we look at the enemy, we always think of the anteater. We think of the devil. We think of all the things that are going on. In fact, when I look at the scriptures and I see all the stories, I'm like, oh, there's a story where the devil wasn't involved. Whoops, no, that's God. But he took care of the devil. And then I turn to another one and I'm like, oh, David was a man of God. The devil never showed up. Whoops, okay, he showed up about 10 times in his life. You turn over to Daniel like, oh, the devil never, oh, wait, all those lions were there. You turn and you turn and you turn in the scriptures. And then you see, even in the Proverbs, that the wisest people on the earth are telling you they don't know anything. Except for this fact that God is who he says he is, and he's all powerful. If you want help during this time, yes, it's important to talk to us as your family. It's important for us to be able to talk about it openly. But it's also important for us to realize that God is still in control. Do we fear evil or do we fear God? Can ants teach us anything? I think so. The biggest enemy of the ant is the ant and other colonies. It's a lesson for us to learn. A lesson that we can learn is something really important. If you have any problems that are going on in your life, the best thing to do is work through it. And how do you work through it? You don't ignore it. You take it on right by the face. And when you do that, you do your job, you cooperate with one another, and you get things done that are bigger than you. When the anteater leaves and half your colony is eaten, what do? I look around us and I see you on TV. I know we miss you. But what do? We put our backs to it. We shrink a little bit. We plan a lot and we move forward. And as we move forward, it's interesting if you look at the ant, do the ants ever question and be like, hey, I was born a worker. This isn't fair. Do they say that? No. And here's even something else about ants. I was born a drone, a male. That's not fair. Queens usually can live up to 20-some years. Males live maybe a month. Is that fair? They don't ever ask. They just do their task. There's also the guards. It's not fair. I have to guard the entrance. And all of a sudden, that tongue comes out. Whoop! Bye, Frank. Hang on. You might make it. Uh-oh. Oops. Next one comes along. Grab that tongue with that pincher. I mean, they have some. I mean, have you seen some of those ants? Have you ever been pinched by an ant? I was down south, and I messed with the wrong ones. They were all red. Oh, those are fun. I didn't know that they had, like, it's not the bite that really is the bad thing. It's the sting. And it's not just one. How many come after you? As many as the, I mean, they can empty the nest on you, and you'd be like, ah, I'm being carried away. And some army ants can carry away almost anything. An interesting thing, as we're closing and we're going to draw the parallels here. Did you know that some ants can carry up to 20 times their weight? And there are a few ants that can carry 5,000 times their weight. How many of you, 20 times your weight? Me? It's a lot. Here's the three lessons that I think that we could learn from ants. Do your job and cooperate with one another. Get things done that are bigger than you. Number two, defend the nest and take care of the wounded. At times like this, it's very important for us to take care of the wounded. And that's not just physically, that's mentally too. We need to gather food and resources for the winter. That doesn't quite correlate really well, but this, we have prepared for this kind of thing for a very, very long time as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now that it's here, how are we doing? Financially, we're doing okay. But mentally, spiritually, we're a little tattered, are we not? But it's okay. Because as soon as winter is over, guess what? It's time to get back to work. I think that's the lessons that ants can give us. As a church family, it's always beneficial when people come and commit time and finances. Time is one of the most precious of resources, but you look at the ants, and time is all they invest in gathering. Time is all that they give to the queen. They all know that each of their colonies smells like and looks like and feels like. In fact, when you see an ant come up on a line, have you ever watched this as a kid? When the ants are coming at each other, they have those little things, and they're like, who are you? They're sensing who you are, friend or foe. And then they follow these lines. And they follow the line because they can sense where the ant was before them. And it's amazing that that could lead right to food. Or in some cases, it leads to their dead brothers and sisters. And you know what happens when their dead brothers and sisters are found? Or their hurt brothers and sisters are found? They take them back where? They take them back to the nest. If you find brothers and sisters that are hurt by others, bring them back here because this is where we take care of them. Just like the ants. They investigate, they harvest, they do all kinds of things. In fact, it's interesting that if you look at the jobs of the ants, it parallels us as human beings and even Christians. Have you ever had a little bunch of ants and put them somewhere and watch what they do? They go round and round and round and round, and then they start doing their jobs again. They cut the leaves, and they start carrying it. And then they, if you have them in a jar, they just kind of go around the jar because they don't know how to get out. They're trying to figure it out. Some ants can lift up to 5,000 times their own body weight. Did you hear me? 20 times is wow. I mean, that's great. Just multiply your weight by 20, and you could lift that. Now do that by 5,000. Be like, my car's broken. But just think about what God can do through you. How much of an impact you can make. How many times can he be using you and you are effective to somebody else. The lifting power that you and I have goes a lot further when God says, you know what, I'm going to use you for a bit, and I'm going to make sure that you listen to somebody listens to you, not because of the words coming out of your mouth, but because that I will put the Holy Spirit upon your lips. And when you do that, you're 5,000 times more infectious than anybody else would be. If you were 150 pounds, that means 750,000 pounds. What would it look like if we all were able to carry so much, if we could carry one another's burdens like this? It would give a whole new meaning to meeting our quota. What would it be like for us to look at the ant and realize that they are from, oh boy, I hope I don't slaughter this. Those of you who are scientific, bear with me. Hymenoptera, which is the same family as the bees and the wasps. You're like, I knew I didn't like them. But without bees and wasps, what do you eat? We're finding places in the world that the bees and the wasps have disappeared, and only the flies are the things that pollinate. You lose species. There are farmer ants, there are gatherers, there are army ants, there are tree trimmers, there are mound builders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of the ants show us one thing, that once organized, the workers, the soldiers, the drones, and the queens, once they start doing something, they can't be stopped, because where one falls down, another picks up. It kind of reminds you of church, does it not? I'm reminded of the apostles. Can you imagine when the last one died to martyrdom? Can you imagine the hope of the Christian church as the last apostle or disciple died? What would it look like for the church to take up the banner and still carry on? What would it look like if all leadership all of a sudden was gone? What would it be like for us as Seventh-day Adventists to be like, okay, we're going to carry on? How will we make it as a group of people? Here is today's mystery text. I want you to find it, okay? Now to him who is able to exceedingly and abundantly above all do what we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, the church, by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So can we make it? Whoa, this text is pretty vivid and clear. Now to him who is able, or she, who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory, the church, by Christ Jesus, are for generations, forever and ever. Amen. Can we make it? Some ant nests, colonies, last for 20 to 30, 40 years. There is a certain kind of ant, I think it is the Brazilian ant, that have the largest colonies. One is reported to be about the size of Rhode Island. There's one in California that is about the size of Manhattan. Now, they don't have just one queen. They have multiple queens. But they have found through genetics and other things that these are all related to one family. And it's amazing to me to see the coordination that all of them work together to make sure that every single portion of that hive survives through the winter. So how do they do it? By doing what they're asked to do, and by doing as a group what they need to do to survive. Turn in your Bibles with me to the one last text, and that's in Acts chapter 2. When the day of the Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a loud noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and languages, as the Spirit was given to them utterances. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each of them was hearing the speaking in their own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" We won't go into the details of that. We've talked about that in the past, but just in short, aren't these guys fishermen? They only know one dialect. And how is it that each of them we are hearing in our own language from which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya, Iran, Cyrene, and the visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, they all heard in their own language. My friends, when the Spirit of God is poured upon his people, what will happen? No longer will ants be enemies of ants, but the message will go out that it's time that the new colony is going to be created. And when the new colony is created, it's going to be the biggest one ever possible. That's God's kingdom. And I guess it's my prayer today that as we see the opportunity to witness, to tell others the wonderful story of Jesus, that we do not have a trouble-free life. We don't. But we know a God that will get us through. And we know that we can learn even from an ant that life is something that is way worth living, and that if we put our backs to it, we can even move mountains. Here's one final thing as we close. Did you know that ants move more dirt per year than humans? Wow. Have you ever seen some of the construction projects around here? That's a lot of dirt in this city, but in the whole world, ants move more dirt than humans. And I'm not sure if that's percentage or actuality, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's crazy that they move more earth than humans do. Let's bow our heads as we close. Father in heaven, you have given an insect the ability to do so much. Dear Father, we actually owe our existence sometimes to these little insects because they do things for the earth that we can't even do. But dear Father, they also teach us lessons in devotion, in stick-to-itness, in teamwork, in defense of our own, and care for everybody around us. Dear Father, help us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians in this time to be able to be with heart and with mind and every ounce that we are your children. And dear Father, as we look into the future, that we would not be scared of the enemy, that the enemy would not write our history, but dear Father, that we would write the history of the leader and the legacy of the leader, because you said that you're coming back for us. Be with us as we persevere during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.